Thank you for that beautiful music this morning, for all the songs that lifted up and gave glory and honor to Him. We heard wonderful songs this morning about how good God is, how His blessings are so wonderful, and how He loves you and I. So let's focus on Aaron, since we know what he's doing right. Let's just concentrate on maybe improving our own self. God has given me a new vision, and I need that. Without vision, people perish. God has given me a new expectation, a new opportunity, just to see what He wants in my life and for the life of our church. The beginning Sunday of a new year, and what a wonderful day God has given us, the health and strength to be here. I know everyone's not well, but we're thankful that things are as well with us as they are. So let's turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 43. In verse 8, I want to look at the thought of teaching our children to honor God. It's not going to be my words or your words that's going to teach them that. It has to be our actions, because we fail. We really have failed. My generation has failed, and we see it's not a day of doom and gloom, but we do know that for the biggest part, the youth of America are straying. They're not interested in the things of God anymore, and it's really our fault. Perhaps we haven't followed God's precepts, and we haven't, in teaching and training them. And there's three aspects. If you look through the Word of God, he mentions four little children three times. And we're going to look at what God says about how we train our little children. Now, some of the little children have grown up to be adults, and we still have children. If you don't have children, you may have grandchildren. If you don't have grandchildren or children, probably got nieces, nephews, or someone. We need to learn how to train our children to honor God. It's got to start with us, don't you see? We want to focus our attention on three things. First of all, we have to avoid self-interest. The example he gives us is in the book of Genesis, chapter 43 and verse 8. The story is Jacob. We don't have time to talk about all his problems because he sure had them. But we're going to talk about our problems and how God can solve those problems if we'll learn to trust Him. And if we will honor Him, then our children will watch us honoring Him, and they will honor Him. Jacob had not been doing a good job at this. Remember, his children have faltered. They failed. The only one that seems to be serving him is Joseph. He's been run out. He's been traded. He's been given to the down to Egypt's land, sold into bondage. Of course, he's a type of Christ. We'll notice that as we're studying this. But in chapter 43 of the book of Genesis, the Bible says, "And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy a little food." Already Joseph down there following God and listening to God and interpreting the dream that God gave Pharaoh on the storage and the application of God's blessings, and now famine had come to the whole region, and there's food in Egypt, not because of the goodness of the people of Egypt, but because of the goodness of God placing His servant Joseph there, which is a type of Christ. And the only blessings there will be in America is from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to learn how to honor Him. Jacob was not honoring Him. It had been told him when they brought the other corn, and Joseph gave clear commandments. "The only way you'll see my face again is to bring Benjamin." He realized, of course, they don't know he's Joseph. But a lot of people don't know Jesus is Jesus, but He is. He gives commandments. If those commandments are not followed specifically and very religiously, then there are no more blessings. And now we need to know how to honor Him, because you can't honor Him if you don't obey Him. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and keep not my commandments?" Now the famine is in the land, and it's been told that the only way you're going to get any food is to follow my directions. And Jesus spake unto him, he spake to his father, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. And God has given us a lot of promises in the Word of God, but he said the only way he's going to follow through with those for us to honor him and doing what he tells us to do. So first of all, we see the reason Jacob, the father, doesn't want to send Benjamin down there is because he's selfish. He's lost Joseph. That was his first love, the son that he loves the most. And that baby Benjamin, his full brother, he says, I've lost Joseph. I can't bear to even think of the possibility of losing Benjamin also, the one I truly love. And that's just a failure on Jacob's part to follow God. He doesn't know Joseph is down there, but he does know God's in control. And if he's really willing to follow God, then he's going to be, he know where the last food came from. It came from the provisions that was provided from Egypt. Type the world. Sometimes God uses worldly devices, but he always uses his son, Christ Jesus. He was not willing to go, but let's keep reading. He'll get willing. If we're not willing to put Christ first and to follow him, the famines will come, or the difficulties will come, and we're not training our children. He has a lot of children in the land, Jacob does, and they're getting hungry. He has grandchildren. He has daughters and sons, and he is not willing to send one son down there to get more food because he's selfish. How many times do we have problems with being selfish? I want it for myself. Doesn't matter that the family's going hungry or will probably starve to death. All he's worried about is his own self, his own self-interest. Now I'm telling you, the only way we're going to get God's blessings is not to be selfish. And we teach our children that because they're watching us. You can have all the lectures you want to, set your children and grandchildren down. Now, children, don't be selfish, and don't just look to yourself. And it goes in one ear, out the other one, and it doesn't stay in there very long. They're really watching you and I. And the children are watching him, but now it got so they have to teach the father, Jacob. Let's keep reading. And they said in verse 7, the man asked us straightly of our state, and of our kindred, saying, is your father alive? Have you another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that we would say, bring your brother down? They're being truthful. God does demand truthfulness. And Jesus said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. See, Judah is not just looking to himself, he's got little ones. Judah, of course, is in the lineage of Christ, and through his offspring, Christ Jesus is going to come. He doesn't know that. He's just the one that God chose to stand up to his father and teach him you can't be selfish. You got other people to think about besides yourself. It's not that Judah didn't love Benjamin. He loved him with all his heart. In fact, he said, I'll be a surety for him. How many times has the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph the type, been a surety for us? And Judah, in the lineage of Christ, is being willing to, okay, I'll go. And if there's something required, and I'll stay down there. Don't worry about me. I'll get your son home. And now, finally, he got it through to his father. It's not just you, Dad. It's not just your sons and daughters. It's the little ones. And how many times do you and I fail to look ahead at the future of America, the way it's drifting? And we're so busy thinking of ourselves that sometimes we forget that we need to teach our children and our children's children to honor God. It's already been said straightly what the specifications were, and they were not going to be twisted or sorted or bent. And we have God's word, put me first. And if we put him first, our children will see that. I can't promise you that they'll always abide back there, but I do know one thing. If we'll do that, then God will help us. Because if you and I are selfish, our children will be selfish and even more. That's the first thing we need to do. But let's go back to the text. And we're looking now at God, three points that God wants us to understand how we can train and teach our children to honor Him. The second one would be in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 10. And we're going to read 32, 16, and 17. We have to sometimes, not only do we have to be willing to lead our children in the right direction by teaching them, by training them, and by avoiding self-interest, and self always pops up in front, that we have to learn to avoid self-interest to train our children. The second thing we have to do, sometimes we have to accept adversities in their life. None of us want that. But sometimes God sees fit that there will be storms, there will be darknesses, there will be winds that blow and waves that come against us. And the adversities we go through teaches us that He can get us through them, and we're honoring Him when we do. Very good lesson here we're going to learn in Numbers chapter 32, verse 16 and 17. And they came near unto him and said, "We will build sheepfold here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land." The story is this. God has given the children of Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. They'd been reluctant to go. And 40 years they were wandering because of their failure to go. Why were they not willing to go? Because they were not looking to God. And as a result, all the men in the population over 20 years old perished in the wilderness. How many times do people suffer consequences because they won't listen to God? Joshua and Caleb listened to God, and they said, regardless of the giants, regardless of anything else, our God is able. And sometimes God allows darkness, adversities, but we must be willing to trust Him during all these times, and we must accept the adversities as they come. And those giants were real. But God says, "I'm bigger than the giants." And there's giants in your life and mine. They may not be physical men that 6 and 7 feet tall or 7 foot 7, but there will be things in their life that seems to be blocking, seems to be hindering, seems that there's no way around. But God says there is a way around. We accept those adversities, and we are willing to follow the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now the story is, they have come and they have dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and it's very comfortable there. And they said, "We're content." Wait a minute. Several of the tribes haven't got their inheritance yet. There's other people besides you. And they're going over there to fight. And let's read the text together, because God gets real angry with them. And I wonder today how many times God gets upset with us. So let's turn our Bibles, please, to the book of Numbers chapter 32. We're going to look at verse 10. "And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and He swore, saying," that we should avoid everything in our lives to keep from angering the Lord. Why would we even think we're going to get blessings if we make the Lord angry? Well, I know how not to make Him angry. I know how to avoid getting Him angry, because if I honor Him with all my life and I lean not into my own understanding, but all my ways acknowledge Him, He said He'd direct my paths. And the text says, "Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me." Sometimes we think we can get by. Well, God says to do this, and I'm doing it. But He said to do that, and we try to measure. We say, We've done most of what God says, so God ought to be happy. The text said he wasn't. We must wholly follow him to avoid the anger. And the Bible says in verse 12, save Caleb, the son of Jephun, and the Kenarite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. What happened to those two because they wholly followed God? They were men that did not squander their families, and they did not die in the wilderness. God preserved and protected them because they wholly followed the Lord. That's what he's looking for. It's not good enough to partially follow the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years till all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, you are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to argument. Yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again lead them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. So you're not just to be content over here in the present land of Jordan. There's a land flowing with milk and honey on the other side, and they say, we're not going. We'll, it's all your people. Just because we're content and we have freedom in America don't mean everyone in the world has. Our concern is for the work of the kingdom of God in this world. It's more than us. Back to the first point, avoid selfishness. God hates selfishness, and God will not bless us if we are selfish, and we sure aren't teaching our children not to be selfish if we ourselves are selfish. And then we see that they have to accept the adversities. Or it would be more comfortable for them, those tribes, to stay there in the land of present-day Jordan because everything's peaceful there. Flowing meadows for their cattle and streams and water. Everything's fine, but it's not fine over there, so you have to go. And yet God expects them to accept the adversities assigned to them. And God's going to send them because they teach us. A lot of time we want to avoid adversities. We don't want to accept them. But if it's God's plan for adversities in our life, we have two choices. We can accept them, and we can try to avoid them, but in trying, we're going to be out of the will of God. And we're teaching our children the wrong way. God's blessings will not flow because he's already told us twice his anger will be against us. And I wouldn't advise any of us to do anything to make the Lord angry. We need him too much. Our children are desperately needing him. He's available if we avoid being selfish and if we are willing to accept the adversities that God sends us. So the text says in the 16th verse, verse 15, for if you turn away from after him, he will yet again lead them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. And their little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. Finally, they were willing to accept for the good of the children. Because God already said, your children and every one of you will be devoured. It should be so simple. If we want God's blessings, we will accept the adversities and know that God goes with us. We will avoid being selfish and teach our children likewise. If we want God's blessings, and surely we need God's blessings, or we want them selfishly, of course we do, but it goes beyond self. See, do we want the blessings of our children and our children's children? Then if we do, we have to be willing to accept those adversities, a time of battle. They have to leave the comforts of their home. and it's well with you and your house, it's well with me and my house, but what about others? Paul learned what we need to learn. It's not about us, it's about others. And the third point, not only do we avoid selfishness, we're teaching our children that, we accept adversity so the anger of the Lord will be not be kindled against us. And thirdly, we must accept and acknowledge the Lord's leadership. That's the main thing. We're going to learn this in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Why did you pick those three topics? I didn't pick them at all. The Lord used that phrase for our little ones in those three. See, the Word of God is so pure and holy. If you just follow His flow and follow His plan and listen to His voice, He'll teach us all He needs to teach us. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Remember the setting now. The land of Israel has been in bondage 70 years. Why would God send His people into bondage? Because they wouldn't follow Him? Because they would not avoid being selfish? And because they wouldn't accept adversities? And so God says, okay, I'll just let Nebuchadnezzar come down, and you'll be in bondage 70 years. But God also made a promise. Because of His mercy and His grace, I'll let you go back home. And now Ezra has been given the charge, and God has spoken to a heathen king and gave him all the provisions they need for the journey home. It's going to be a long journey, 4 months in the wilderness with the children and the little ones going back home with the dangers, and they had all this gold and all this silver. How are we going to get it there? We'll read the text together. Let's read the verse 21 of chapter 8 of Ezra first. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek Him, to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our acceptance. Three things. If we want God's blessings to get us back home these 4 months traveling, most of all by foot in the wilderness, if we want God's blessings for ourselves, we must be willing to avoid selfishness, we must be willing to accept adversities, and we must with all our heart acknowledge God in every walk of our life. Those three. And also, if we want this for our little ones, sometimes we want blessings on us and we don't look at the children and the great grandchildren that's not even born yet. But God says, look ahead. I'm going to provide safety for the journey for yourselves, for your little ones, and thirdly, He said, for your substance. Not only is God interested in you and I, He's interested in our offspring. He's interested in our substance. Because after all the things God gave us, we give right back to Him, and really they're not ours at all, they're His. And God always takes good care of His property and His provisions. So now let's read the text together, and we're going to read verse 21 of the book of Ezra chapter 8. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava. He said, if we go through the wilderness, we better get ourselves right with God. And one way is to fast and kindly look to Him. And fasting is something that's not preached about much, it's not done very much, but it's avoiding self-interest and turning your attention toward God. And it's a hard thing to do, but He was willing to do it. And He said, we're going to afflict ourselves. Yeah, fasting does that to you. Before God to seek of Him a right way for us and our little ones and for all our acceptance. The only way we're going to make it from Babylon back home is to have God provide for us. Well, what about the armies? They could have went with Him and would have been willing to have went with Him. Well, let's read about that. For I was ashamed to require of a king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of God is upon us for good that seek Him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. All he would have had to done is say the king, because God already had put in the king's heart to give him all he needed. He would have escorted him with a band of soldiers. But that wouldn't have been so good. That would have said, we don't need God. He's not big enough. We have to have the protection of the world. So he said, I was ashamed to do that because I'd already said God's able. How many times have we said vocally and verbally to the world that God didn't take care of us? And their children hear it. But their children are watching. And when difficulties come, do they see us whining, dining, and dwelling on the, what can I do now? I don't think God's treating us fair, children. Would you dare say that? Now, your children are watching. They're watching to see if you're on your knees trusting God to get you through it. And yeah, a lot of people look to our government. Our government's going to be the one that gives victory in America, no matter what political party or any other entity. Only the Lord can provide for us in the upcoming years and protect us and give us victory through Him. We know how to do it. We've already said we have to be willing to avoid self-interest. We have to be willing to accept the afflictions that may be associated with it. But the third thing, and this thing we're finishing up with, we have to learn to acknowledge God. It's Him that's in charge. Let's read the text together. How are they going to do that? We'll see what God says. So, verse 23, we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us. Every time in the Word of God you see where people put their trust in the Lord, there's not one instant, not one instant that He ever failed. What does that tell you now? Put your trust in the Lord. Avoid self-interest. Be willing to accept adversities. And be willing to acknowledge God in all your ways. And He definitely will direct our path. Said He would. Let's see if He does. Then I separated 12 of the chiefs of the priests. And then in separating those, he chose, God doing the choosing, the ones that would follow and the ones that would take the responsibility. Now, they were going through the wilderness, and they had a lot of gold and a lot of silver. And they were going to be given this and separated out. What about those priests? How will they get by? Will they, when they get over on the other side, what if they pocket some of the money? No. There's going to be a day of acknowledgement and a day of accepting what God has given us. And then he said in verse 25, and wait unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and the counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. I even weighed into their hands 650 talents of silver and silver vessels and 100 talents and of gold and 100 talents and 20 basins of gold of 1,000 drams and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. And I said unto them, you're holy unto the Lord the vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. What's he told us so far? That the provisions we have been given to us of God. And you and I are vessels that God has given us the Holy Spirit to entrust in us across the wilderness of life to teach our children and our children's children that God is able. Adversities will come. Hardships will come. But we will trust the Lord. And Ezra said, I'd be ashamed not to. Ashamed before men and ashamed before God not to trust him. Let's keep reading. Next verse said, verse 28, and I said unto them, you are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering. Verse 29, watch ye and keep them until you weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites and chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem in the chambers of the house of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? from the abundance has been given them, there's going to be a check-in point. Where would it happen to be? In the house of the Lord. It seems as most message I've preached in the last 10 years, most of them, the subject has come up. Anything worth anything will begin and end in the house of the Lord. Here it is again. They've been given all these vessels of gold and silver, weigh that to him individually. But there's a day when they get back to Jerusalem, they'll have to have an account given. And you realize at the end of the journey, there's going to be accountability given before God of everything that's been given us, our children, our time, our talents. Or we're going to be weighing in, and what have you done with it? At the house of God. There's a place in heaven that we're going to end up, if you're saved by the grace of God, to give account of everything we've done for him, every gift we've been given. Oh, it's a long journey for them, 4 months of hardships. Bandits, wolves, bears, lions, cold nights and hot days. And yes, for you and I, it's been a long journey and it'll get longer. But cheer up. We'll all weigh in to a place of heaven. And there we'll say unto the Lord, and hopefully he'll say to us, he did to Paul, you fought a good fight, you've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for you. Will there be anything laid up for us? Have we been good custodians? Have we been acceptable vessels unto the Lord for the gift? What has God given us? Health, strength, all kinds of opportunities. And he's trusting us to go through this wilderness of life to teach our children and their children's children to avoid self-interest, to accept adversities, and to acknowledge God in every way of our lives. And they're watching. And they don't have to listen to what we say. They probably won't, nearly as much as they watch what we do. And now these children, they're going along, and he tells us again, for your little ones. The Bible says, verse 30, so took the priests and the Levites away the silver and the gold and the vessels, and brought them to Jerusalem, the house of our God. Then we departed from the river of Ahava, on the 12th day of the first month, to go into Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us. And he delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and of such as lay in wait by the way. We came to Jerusalem, and abode there 3 days. Hey, they made it. How did they make it through? The text just told us there's people laid out by the wayside, ready to grab them, ready to steal it. What kept the enemy abated? The hand of the Lord. You know how to keep the hand of the Lord upon your life and against all the enemy of your soul, of your family? These 3 points. Avoid self-interest. Accept the adversities. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he promises, I will direct your paths. And he did. And he will. Would you stand? Altar's open. New year. We've been given a lot. This will be a day of weighing in. And yes, every one of us, no doubt, squandered. Partial, and hopefully not all, of the things we ought to do. But there's a day of repentance. A day that's acceptable before God that we can come and say, Lord, I haven't done all you expect me to do, and sometimes we think we can do partial and it'll be all right. God said it wasn't. His anger was kindled against them because they didn't wholly follow him. And yet we can have forgiveness for the past, and God will help us get the rest of the way home for the grace and glory. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's for our little ones. 3 times he uses that phrase. And every time it's got us to where we are. ended up in the house of God. Altar is open. Play something on the piano, the organ, whatever God puts on your heart. Follow the Lord this morning. Bow before Him. None of us know the future. But we do know He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can even ask or think. And yeah, we come with repentant hearts of the ways we failed Him, and surely we'd have to acknowledge we have wholly followed Him. Now, the hearer can say that. Nobody here can say, I've wholly followed the Lord. No, 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 we haven't. And God says, you can do better. Just fall on your face and say, Lord, help me. That's what they did. They had a day of fasting. They had a day of saying, Lord, we can't make it through that wilderness, and neither can you, and neither can I. We have the Lord. If we acknowledge Him, might I add, when they got there, they had lost nothing that they'd been given. No band of thieves, no robber, no devil, nothing took away one thing that God gave them. They made all the way to the house of God. And there, a day of accountability. There will be a day of accountability. And I pray God will be what we ought to be as we go and as we get there. And we do it not only for Him, but to train and teach our little ones. We ourselves need the help of God. Can't make it on our own. There's no way. He doesn't expect us to. We honor Him and He'll direct our paths. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this day that You've given us, for the precious, precious Word of God, for the seed from the Word of God. And when they're sown in good ground, they'll come up, and You said some 20-fold, some 40-fold, some 100-fold. And help us to receive the good Word of God in their hearts, so that we might not sin against You. And You've given us these examples in Your Word. And help us, Father, realize and know, you know, we're going to make it. Teach our children what they need to learn. It's for we ourselves to do these things. And with ourselves, we're weak. We know that. But You can help us. We're trusting You. We're looking to You. Help us to follow You. Not only today, but every day in the new year. We give ourselves afresh in You to the work and to the authority of God's precious, precious Word. Because in the name of Jesus, we humbly pray with thanksgiving. Say that, I don't know why I do. You can't forget. I guess I should say, plan to come to service tonight. If you don't, it won't be because you forgot it. Probably. We appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to start a new year just confessing our faults unto Him. He knows about them. Why not confess them? Trusting Him to get us through this veil of tears and to teach our children in the meantime. God's able to get us all through. Home before dark. Home, my heart's clear. Pray much for those people hurting everywhere. Still got a lot of people in our churches. Pray very sick. Brother Gunn, will you come pray with us? We pray together.
Be a deacon's meeting tonight after the service. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You this afternoon, Father, for your love, for your mercy, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful weather, for our health able to come to the house of God. Lord, for the message, and I pray, Father, it would fall on good ground, and Father, it would bring forth much fruit for your honor and glory. I pray, Father, for our young people. God, I pray for our members. I pray, Father, for the adults. Lord, that this year you'd put a desire, a fervor in our heart, Father, to serve you like we've never served you before. We love you. We bless you. Thank you, Father, for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.